Thanks, Eileen. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Hey, good afternoon on this Friday afternoon. How are you? 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. And of course, it's not just any Friday. It's the Friday at the beginning of a la-la-la-la-la-la long weekend. And as far as I can make out, it's the first bank holiday weekend since inter-county travel was allowed. And I'm reading here in independent.ie that 500,000 people will travel this weekend. That's phenomenal. That's more than 10% of the population will be on the highways and byways of Ireland, going here, there and everywhere. They'll be travelling to see mammies and granddaddies and grandmothers and beaches and all sorts of things. And they're in their cars now, listening. Hello, hello, ye who are travelling, all 500,000 people. So, you know, you probably won't get where you're going as quickly as you thought. So just take your time, relax. We'll be here for company. And remember that people are out on roads that they're probably not familiar with, and people are driving now outside the county for the first time in a long time, so they might be a little bit rusty when it comes to the driving. So be patient out there. Just be patient out there. We don't want any road rage incidents today or any accidents. So just take it nice and handy, as they say down the country. Take it nice and handy. We might check in with AA Roadwatch. That'd be exciting, wouldn't it? Because we never do that, because there's never any traffic when we're on. So we'll seem like a real radio programme. And now it's time to go to AA Roadwatch. And then the lady will be on and she'll tell us where all the, you know, the Dunkettle roundabout and all that sort of thing, and the Ennis Road and the M50. And I'm looking forward to that, actually. Now I'm getting a bit excited. I'm easily excited. We watched Riverdance, the movie, in our house last night. It's up on Sky. Now, there was a bit of a hoo-ha about it on Liveline earlier in the week. So I said I'd make up my own mind, because sometimes, you know, things don't suit people. So a reviewer watches it, might be in bad form, or it's not their cup of tea. So I said, I'm a big fan of Riverdance, probably because I was there on the night in the Point Theatre as it was, you know, and it was just special. Hairs on the back of your neck, hands, wherever you have hair. It was standing up all over the place, and Gene Butler and Michael Flatley, and it was just like unforgettable. So I have a relationship with it. So I watched it last night. We loved it in our house. Loved it. It's a bit mad. It's a bit crazy. Great performances by like big stars. Pierce Brosnan hasn't got one. He's two roles. Yeah, they got value for money there. And we spoke to Pauline McLean. She's in it as well. Married to Pierce Brosnan before he dies. Then he becomes somebody else. That's not a spoiler. You'll see it. It's early on in the movie. Brendan Gleeson is in it. Aisling Bea voices. And then two young voices. Can't remember the names, but they're great performances there. And of course, the music, Bill Whelan's music throughout. And there's a little bit of Fantasia about it. I don't know if you remember that movie. It was a Disney movie, one of the early animated Disney movies. And there was a lot of dancing elephants and all sorts of things in it. And the music was the thing. It was more like an art piece than a movie. Anyway, there's moments like that in it. There's the singing and dancing frogs. And then there's the very large deer with the very large antlers who get up on their hind legs and do river dance. Not only do they do that, but they also play hurling. And you just, it leaves you with a huge, big smile on your face. So recommend it from here, whatever the begrudgers say. And then at the end, there's a beautiful song, new song from Lyra, which is called Light Me Up, which I must play for you next week in its entirety. So just to whet your appetite and get you in the humour for it. Yep! Yes! And they were on their feet, applauding, standing ovation went on for hours. That's what it seemed like at the time. And of course, we embellish these things with years passing, don't we? Anyway, there you go. Riverdance the movie. It's available on Sky there. Let's see what you were saying on email overnight, ray@rte.ie. I would be very appreciative if you could give a big shout out to my wonderful nephew, Joseph Scully, and his fiancée, Sarah Nolan, both from Skerries, who are getting married in the west of Ireland today. Wishing them happiness and a wonderful life together. Love from the Reynolds family in Castleknock and the extended Lee family in Cabra. That's Denise Reynolds there. So I hope you have a brilliant day, Joseph and Sarah. I'm just looking there at the stats. So wedding indoor reception, still just six people today. So they can have more people at the ceremony, I think, but only six people indoors. So enjoy your little party. And I'm sure there's a bigger party planned for later on in the year. And that's Joseph and Sarah getting married today. Agnes has been on. Hi, Agnes. Enjoyed your chat this week about salads. Not many people mentioned mango or apricots. They can really spice up a salad. Woo, Agnes. Yeah, well, I know this sounds a little bit old hat, but far from mangoes and apricots, I was reared, Agnes. And the mention of fruit in a salad would have sent you running. Now I know what they're saying. Yes, a tomato is a fruit, Ray. And you have tomato in your salad. And that's, isn't that the thing that Brian O'Driscoll is quoted as saying, but he admits that he's quoting somebody else. That knowledge, what's this? Oh yeah, knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is not putting it in a fruit salad. Isn't that it? Is that it? Or is that, that's a variation of it anyway. And still on the salad, I'm still in shock about the cold beans in your salad. It's so funny, I associate cold beans with a time from my childhood. My folks had a row, nothing dramatic, just a normal family row, but my mum stormed out for the day. Ah, yeah. Leaving my dad to fend for himself in the kitchen. The result? Cold beans. So cold beans are a bit of a trigger for you. Sorry about that. Long weekend, which is great. We know Zoom calls till Tuesday. Yay! There's a bit of Zoom fatigue. I don't know if you're lucky enough not to be involved in Zooms, and I envy you if you are. But those of us who have to go through the Zooms, it was a novelty at the start, and then it was fine, and you know. But now, you could do it a few days off. But research just in: 500 people have been surveyed by Imagine. They're an Irish broadband provider. And they have found that 1 in 5 people admit to being on Zoom calls while not wearing blank. You have to fill that in, okay? Let's do it like Have I Got News for You. 1 in 5 people admit to being on Zoom calls while not wearing blank. We'll give you the answer in a moment. Here is the oddest combination of things from our past. Vanilla Ice, as in, you know, Vanilla Ice, yeah. Yeah. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom. Deadly. When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit bulls out of kid, don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ. Here we go. So that's him, right? Ice, Vanilla Ice, real name Robert Van Winkle. So he had a hit there back in 1990 with that. It was a one-hit wonder. And Shergar, what have they got in common? Vanilla Ice and Shergar. Shergar being the horse owned by the Aga Khan that won the 1981 Epsom Derby, which is on around now, isn't it? And then he was retired to Ballymanny Stud just up the road from where I come from, outside Newbridge in County Kildare. And then he was famously stolen in 1983 and a ransom of 2 million was demanded. It was never paid and he was never recovered. And the mystery of Shergar persists to this day. So what have Vanilla Ice and Shergar got in common? Well, I didn't know this. You probably didn't know it either. But rapper Vanilla Ice says that he was fascinated by the disappearance of Shergar. And he is now voicing a podcast entitled Sports Strangest Crimes. And Shergar's in there. So That's you can fascinate your friends this evening. Friends you haven't seen in a long time. Did you know what's the connection between Vanilla Ice and Shergar? And then you can tell them that your man on the radio said that Vanilla Ice is doing a podcast about Shergar. 51551 ray@rte.ie. I'm a demon for the dried mango in a salad. Try it, Ray. Lovely with spinach, olive oil, and a few nuts. Fruit in a salad is a great way to trick kids into liking salads. Aha. And you kept me entertained all week with the salad stuff. Well, today in the garden, you've inspired us. A lovely rocket and walnut and avocado salad. Mmm, posher, what? So there's nuts and all sorts of things there. The height of sophistication back in the day was apple and celery. Ah, yes, but wasn't there walnut in that as well? Apple, celery and walnut salad. I think that, yeah, never liked it. Could you please wish Paddy Cal from Bettystown a happy birthday? He is our wonderful oldest brother-in-law, son-in-law, husband and father. We are sending love and hugs his way and hope he has a great birthday. Love you lots, Paddy. From Mary, Terry, Debbie, Mark, Holly, Adrian, Aaron, Nathan, Josh, Don and Lorraine. Got them all in there. Happy birthday, Paddy. Best wishes to you. See, we'll finish it off now. But we have to bookend the week. We started off with the cold beans. And the other thing that got them talking during the week at the Zoom call, and we'll come back to that. Yes, 1 in 5 people admit to being on Zoom calls while not wearing blank. Was that I didn't know garlic existed in the world until I was 18. Came up to college and went to a dinner party. And the girl said to me, "Would you make some garlic bread there?" I said, "What? How do you do it?" And she gave me this thing, this yolk, which turned out to be a clove of garlic, which I had to crush and then crush it into the butter and then a bit of parsley and put it in the bread, put it in the oven. I was amazed and fascinated. So that's where that smell comes from, you know, people's breaths, garlic. 18, I was 18. While not wearing makeup. No, incorrect. While not wearing underwear. I don't think they question people about that, but we'll keep going. 1 in 5 people admit to being on Zoom calls while not wearing blank. Nick Seymour is bass player and one of the founding members of Crowded House. He now lives in Sligo. They have a new album. He's going to be talking to us after 4 o'clock. And just to whet your appetite, here is Weather With You. Yeah, it's suitable for the day that's in it and the weekend that's in it. Good afternoon. Great song. Crowded House, Weather With You. And we'll be talking to Nick Seymour from the band after 4 o'clock. Not wearing deodorant. Nah. Not wearing glasses. No. But Jerry got it right. 1 in 5 people admit to being on Zoom calls while not wearing trousers. Do they do it because it's convenient? Do they do it because it's sort of a rebellious thing? You know, I'm looking at you. You might think I'm all dressed up for this Zoom meeting, but actually I'm wearing no trousers. Is that why they do it? Or a mixture of both? So if you're one of those 1 in 5 who don't wear trousers on Zoom calls, please let us know why you do it. 51551. I met my husband at Riverdance. I gay-crashed the backstage cast party at the Point Depot. Was talking to Michael Flatley first, but he had to go to the toilet. Even great men have to pee, you see. Then my own husband, my now husband, made a move and the rest is history. That's Christina. Nuts are key to salad. Crunchy and filling. Yes, I remember a doctor saying to me, if we could get everybody in the country just to eat a handful of nuts every day, we'd be doing a good job. Underrated are nuts. Have you ever tried banana with gold grain biscuits? If not, you should. Well, that's sort of banoffee type thing, isn't it? You know, because the banoffee base has your golden grain biscuits, and then you put the thing on top, the caramel, is it, or whatever they call it, condensed milk thing, and then there's bananas. So it's, yeah, I can see why it would work. Now, our quiz of today, press the button there. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. Today, the 4th of June, and we have cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years, the big news stories, scientific breakthroughs, movies, TV shows, songs, births, the whole lot in there. And we're looking for 2 people, that's 2 of you, to come on and answer 5 questions each and maybe win a prize. Well, one of you will definitely win a prize, and it's from the Castleknock Hotel. They want us to tell you about their Miss Moments package, or even packages. An opportunity for you to celebrate the things you may have missed last year, like date nights, birthdays, anniversaries. They have balloons and bubbles and cake. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. So, 2 people after 4 o'clock. If you'd like to be involved, you have to answer a qualifying question, which is this. In which Irish county would you find the town of Dungarvan? In which Irish county would you find the town of Dungarvan? 1850-715-900. That's 1850-715-900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, we mentioned that 500,000 people might be taken to the roads this weekend, so we better have a quick check-in with AA Roadwatch. Very excited about this to see what the story is right now before the Friday rush hour. Lauren Bean is the deputy editor of AA Roadwatch. Good afternoon, Lauren.
Good afternoon, Ray. There is very heavy traffic out there at the moment on the national routes. and around the cities as well. So in Cork, you have a couple of incidents adding to delays, including one at the Dunkettle interchange just as you come up to the tunnel. So that has added to very long queues on the N40, the M8 and the N25. And you can expect other nearby routes like the N28 and South City Link Road to pick up as a result of that as well. There's also a breakdown on the main Cork to Limerick Road, the N20 just north of Charleville, and works near Macroom are adding to long queues there this afternoon on the N22, especially if you're heading towards Kerry. In Limerick, the N21 is also very busy towards Kerry, so at Adair, Newcastle West and Abbey Feel. And then Galway City is generally very heavy, the heaviest we've seen it in quite a while, especially the Tuam Road, College Road, Lochatalia Road and Headford Road. Sligo Town has a long northbound queue on the N4. There are works at Hughes Bridge, so bear in mind as well that the road layouts may have changed since you were last there. Important. And in Dublin, the heaviest traffic, as you've probably expected, is from Junction 13 Ballantyre on the M50 southbound down onto the M11 towards Bray. And there are some delays too on north side routes around Port Marnock and Kinsealy. So a lot of people on the move at the moment.
Lauren, the only reason we've had you on is that I'm hitting the M50 at about 5:30, 6:15. What's it going to be like then?
I'll get out my crystal ball there. At the moment, it's very heavy southbound. You've got queues from the M1 M50 interchange down to Blanchardstown. Right. And then again, that queue I mentioned from Ballantyre down towards Bray. It might ease off a little bit earlier than usual on a bank holiday. It tends to pick up earlier, so it might ease earlier. But at the moment, I really can't say.
And Lauren, just before you go, this is the busiest it's been for a long time, isn't it?
It is, yeah. This is the first bank holiday without travel restrictions for quite a while as well. And traffic levels we know are back to about 85 to 90% of their pre-pandemic during the week. On a normal June bank holiday, we'd report around 35 traffic incidents between Friday and Monday. So really take care if you're out on the roads. No one wants to start their weekend off with a traffic incident.
No.
So allow time and plan ahead. Remember as well that some road layouts might have changed since you last travelled as well, between roadworks and a new junction opened on the N7. So just give yourself time and watch out for new signage.
Good advice. Lauren Bean, Deputy Editor of AA Road Watch. Thank you very much, Lauren. Thank you.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Yeah, 51551 for your texts. Let us know what you're up to for the long weekend, or ray@rte.ie. Now, last Friday, I spoke with Aileen and James McCauley, an Irish couple who created The Wriggler, which is an anti-roll changing mat for babies. They featured on Dragon's Den on BBC last night, and they walked away with a £50,000 investment from one of the dragons. And Aileen and James are back on the line to let us know where they watched it, how they feel and everything else. Hello, Aileen. Hello, James.
Hi, hey, Ray. How's it going?
Yeah. How are you feeling today, James?
Ah, delighted. Woohoo! Happy days.
Yeah. Because the deal is that you're contractually obliged to sit on that information. When was it filmed?
It was filmed last October, and you only get about 3 weeks' notice that it's actually going to go to air. So we've been sitting on it and stewing all that time. And I mean, you know, couldn't tell a soul. You're under a confidentiality agreement, and you're not allowed to talk about anything. So it's been a tough thing to keep to ourselves.
And how, like, what was the arrangement between yourself, Aileen, and James? What did you decide? Because were you allowed to tell close members of the family or friends?
No. So my brother and sister watched it last night for just at the same time as we watched it, and found out at the exact same time we were. So no, it was news to everybody, and because of COVID, we watched it ourselves in our house. So the WhatsApp groups were flying last night, and the episode, it was such an intense episode. Like, our pitch was up last, and it was. A really unusual episode in that no other business has got even an offer. So it was one rejection after another after another, and the tension was building and building, and people were just getting more and more nervous for us watching it, going, how did you even stand in front of these? Like, this is, like, they were really dragons last night. It was really intense. So to kind of get out was great.
Yeah, but congratulations. And James, is it shot out of sequence? Like, as you watched it last night, had you seen those people go before you?
Do you mean the other?
Yes, the other people who were looking for money from the dragons.
We had only, no, so I don't know how they put the show entirely together. So basically, we would have probably seen one of the women who pitched last night along with ourselves.
Okay.
On the morning we were into film, but I mean, they kind of mix it up and edit it as they see fit and put the show together, which is completely understandable. But I mean, so you're kind of in a little bubble going in there to film and come out, and they kind of intentionally don't want people having those conversations.
Of course, yes, yes. Now, just to remind people, it's a changing mat, and ye developed it because one of your children was a bit of a wriggler, and you didn't have enough hands to change the nappy. So,
Basically, from around 6 or 8 months, once babies learn to roll, flip over, or crawl, nappy changing can become a stressful battle for parents and the little ones. And the idea then is that changing tables and stations become quite obsolete, and they're quite expensive units. And they recommend changing the floor, but of course, with a baby's newfound freedom, it takes a parent's both hands to try and keep them still, and you don't have hands left to actually change the nappy.
You have the pitch off. That's it. There's the pitch, right?
So that's
the
probably
pitch.
Probably a little bit of it, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good bit of the pitch. So I was watching last night, a weird thing. This guy, Tuker Sullivan.
Yeah.
So you were in there and you said, listen, we're looking for an investment of 50,000 and we'll give you 25% of the company.
Mm-hmm.
And then you do your pitch. And then Tuker says what, Aileen?
So Tuker said, this is a bizarre offer, is what he said. And he said, I will give you all of the money, very generously, all of the money. But he said, I want 90% of your business and I'll take it over. And I'll give you a 5% royalty of every mat sold after that. So, I mean, to go in looking to give 25% and then suddenly we're being told, well, I'll take 90% of your business.
Yeah.
It was a real dragon offer. And it was interesting that the other dragons kind of came to our defense.
Yes.
So Deborah and Tia Pafidis were both saying, but hang on a second, if you have 90% of the business, then you're giving the 50 grand to yourself. Now, in fairness, though...
I never thought of it like that, of course.
Yeah, so that was the whole idea. But there wasn't much focus on the fact that the 5% royalty was the idea that he does have a big global infrastructure of baby products you know, that he was saying, well, I'll give you 5% of every mat sold. So if he sold millions of mats, I mean, there was the seed of a potential offer to consider there, but on the day, I mean, when you go over to the wall and you're trying to figure out what, you know, how to negotiate and what would that mean in real terms, like, there, it just wasn't pitched in a way that we could even consider.
And James, how long do you have to decide whether you're going to take the pitch or not?
Ray, you have a couple of minutes. You go to the wall, like, it's in real time, it's happening. The pressure is immense, and there's the full film studio over there. And behind you, it's so weird because behind you, there's five dragons, multimillionaires, kind of sitting, tapping their fingers on the chair.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, you're trying to go through the maths and the calculations and saying, well, okay, if he was selling millions of maths, what that might look like.
Yeah.
And then you're thinking, well, there's an equity deal there with Sarah. You don't want to alienate another dragon.
Right. Yeah.
You know, and they're both. And like,
because Sarah was offering 50,000 for 35%, which was close enough to what you were looking for.
Yeah, she started
for.
At 40%, actually.
Right.
And then we negotiated it. We said, look, we would be prepared to do 30%. And then she met us in the middle, in fairness.
Right. So what happens now? Yeah. You've 50,000 from Sarah Davies. Has she got any experience in... baby products?
So her big experience is in bringing products to market. So,
right.
And the wriggler is patented, and we mentioned that last week, you know, that's a whole process trying to protect the product and that. So she has lots of experience in that area. So, like, that was one of the reasons, you know, we went into the den with two dragons in mind, and they asked us in advance, who would you like to do a deal with if possible? And we said Sarah Davies or Tuker Sullivan. So to get offers from both of them was a great validation.
Uh-huh.
So. So Sarah, so that's where her expertise is in products. And she has networks, I guess, in the US and Europe. So, yeah.
Have you any other inventions in the pipeline, James?
Well, I think we need to crawl before we can run away,
oh,
you know, on this one.
Obviously
we'd like to expand the range and we'd like to come up with different SKUs and everything else. But I mean, we're definitely want to just push this out into the world now that a lot more people know about us and then see where the journey takes us.
And did the two children, Daniel and Sarah, did they stay up to watch it last night?
No, we were so torn about whether we'd have them watch it or not. And any press that we've done so far, they've found so boring that we were thinking, okay, that's probably not interesting for them. And then we knew we were going to be tense watching it, considering we hadn't seen this. We knew pretty much everyone we knew were going to be watching it at the same time. Yeah. So we figured, why put them through the stress of this? So yeah, they knew it was happening, and we'll let them watch it in the future, but they just have no interest in it at the moment.
Aileen, can I congratulate you? That's very good parenting. Very
Thank
good parenting.
You.
Yes, very good parenting, yes. Because you would think that of course, yeah, keep them up, let them watch it, like the toy show. But but knowing that you were going to be tense, they're going to be bored, not a great combination of things, then they're going to be tired, and yeah, so that was good parenting. Well, listen, congratulations. Keep in touch and let us know how things develop with yourselves and Sarah Davies and the Wriggler.
We'd love to.
Okay. Aileen and James McCauley, good luck. See you. Enjoy your weekend. Bye now. Bye.
Thank
bye.
You
bye.
Too. Bye. Bye. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, they're telling me upstairs that they still need contestants for our quiz. We need two people after 4 o'clock with a chance to win that lovely break in the Castleknock Hotel. And our qualifying question is, in which Irish county would you find the town of Dungarvan? 1850 715 900, and we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Now, I'm joined in studio this Friday by Mike Hanrahan. You know Mike from Stockton's Wing and other things. Mike, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ray.
Commiserations on the death of your mother Mary.
Thank you.
So she's a week dead.
Yeah.
Right. Now, the song. We'll talk about the song first, and then we'll talk about Mary, and then we'll come back to the song.
Great.
So just briefly, the song was ready to go, and you wrote it about Mary.
Yeah, it was a prayer I wanted to send to my mum. I just wanted to send her a prayer to wish her well on the final stages of her life, because she'd lived with dementia for 7 years, and the last 6 or 7 months was particularly tough for her. But the last year was, and on a visit last year, one of those window visits to the home, I just came home and I had this idea about our life being like a river, a meandering river, starting from the top of the mountain, and then you find your way to the ocean. And I just wanted to get my mum to the ocean and be happy and find her ocean and find dad again. And, you know, and that's what the song was about. Yeah. And so I wrote it. I spent a lot of time with it. I'm very proud of the song because it was easy to write, because I was writing for mum, because she was actually one of my best mates as well, you know, when we were around together. So it was very dear to me. I'm glad I got a chance to say that to her. I'm glad I got a chance to sing it to her in the home a few weeks ago when myself and Kieran went down and we played some tunes for her. And I got to sing a song. So it was released on Friday at lunchtime. And she died Friday night. I was actually in Ennis. Something told me on Thursday evening I need to go to Clare, you know, so I did. And yeah, it was bizarre.
Is bizarre, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because I got an email about it over the weekend and I thought that this is very odd. Because I know you.
Yeah.
And I know you would never sort of, you know,
It wasn't a gimmick.
It wasn't a gimmick. Yeah. Like that would have been. No. I know.
But that would have been a good one.
Yes. Well, you want once off. You can't. It's not something you can repeat. But so that's very special then, isn't it?
It really is special because most of us were around her bed when she passed, and on her last breath, my older brother Joe just took the phone out from his pocket and put it on the pillow and played a song for her, and that was one of the most beautiful moments of my life. And I think we were privileged to have that as a family, because this year past, so many people didn't get a chance to do that, you know. And my sister-in-law came to the wake in my house, and she went in to say goodbye to my mum, and she cried because she couldn't see her dad.
Yes.
You know, he was taken away in a bag. And so we were privileged to have that and privileged to be able to celebrate her life, and the entire town of Ennis came out and cheered her and
clapped her. Let's celebrate her life a bit here then.
Yeah.
So 91, mother to how many of you?
8 of us.
Right.
There was 6 boys and 2 girls. All of us, each and every one of us, strived our entire lives to be the black sheep. So she had all that difficulty to deal with. And she was a nurturer.
Who won in the end? No, you don't need to answer that question.
She was a nurturer. You know, my dad was a provider, and they were an amazing couple. They lived for each other and lived for their family. And they were of that generation who just gave everything to raise their kids. Yeah. And that was their kind of purpose in life, and to love each other. And that's what they did. I came from an idyllic upbringing, and mum taught me an awful lot, and she was very wise. As a friend, she was great because she could keep secrets, you know, and she'd make sure that if she was telling you a secret, that you better keep it to yourself. So, yeah, she was a really a good pal and a great mother.
And a confidant.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt, on all things. Like when you're growing up, no matter at since an early age, when if ever I had things that I had to discuss or things that bothered me, and there was times during the year, I remember I wrote a book 2 years ago, and there was elements in that where I had to talk to her about it, and she was open for it, and talking to her freed me, you know, and it brought us closer together.
But like she was in the throes of dementia when you brought out that book, but you were still able to have the chats.
Well, we had to, in the early stages she could talk away, and I remember I wanted to get her recipes. I really wanted to get her recipes, and I was at home. We used to go down every, we'd take turns doing weekends to mind her. They were great weekends because it was just, it was a one-to-one for 3 days. You'd never get it. And I remember one time asking her for, can we have the recipes, you know? And she looked at me, and I had a dictaphone on, and she said, Jesus, go away with that thing. And so she started to give me the recipes. It was like a fist to this, a pinch of that, a fist to that. And I still haven't perfected it.
And what was her signature dish? Not that she would have called it that.
Oh, her breads were amazing, and her tarts were just, I mean, they were just outrageous. There was always a tart, and it was always like Kieran and myself were living in Dublin, so there was always a tart waiting. That's the advice from Dublin. Don't eat that tart. So we were privileged to get
Mike
that
and Kieran are on the road. They're on their way down.
Yeah, we were the prime boys.
That's for them. So you started seeing the dementia 7 years ago when she was about 84.
Yeah.
And she was bright as a button before that.
Yeah. Yeah, she was having her own. She loved her bingo. She loved her religion. She was extremely religious. She loved talking. She loved cooking. And all these things gradually were taken away from her, you know. And like when she couldn't go to the bingo anymore, it meant an awful lot to her. And then she started losing her physicality, started getting, and then she eventually fell and broke her hip, and that was kind of the final state. That was about 4 years ago. So, yeah, it was to watch that decline is really tough. But I think what it has given me, and I suppose the main reason I really want to be here, and you've invited me, it's great, is just to talk of the future of our generation and how we deal with dementia.
Yeah.
Because we have been left with this new wave and after wave of dementia and memory loss in all our families. Now, like in the older generations, it wasn't that. They said you were doting and you'd be put in the corner.
And on top of that, Mike, people died younger.
Yeah, much younger.
And then we've had this chat a number of times on this show that, like, because of medical advances, we are living longer. And as a result of that, there are going to be more people with dementia and Alzheimer's.
Yes, and more, and unfortunately, more younger people. Yeah. When I was at home at the funeral on Monday, I discovered that three of my childhood friends, same age as me, have dementia.
Right.
And that shook me. So in my mum's memory, I've decided to dedicate my life, the rest of my life, to helping people with memory loss.
Right.
Wherever I can. And there are so many things going on in America with music, you know, and with dance.
Yeah.
And the effect it has on people, because hearing is the last thing to go. So I think we need to kind of start creating a more inclusive society. And then I was telling her about a story I read about America. The American Indians, when the member of the tribe gets dementia or issues with memory loss, they're assigned a person of the tribe to mind them. And they're not told to go in the corner and do, and they're actually told, because they see this tribe's person going back to their childhood, and they have to be nurtured before they reach their God. So there's all these things that we need to talk about.
And your mother was in a nursing home.
She was in a home for,
since the fall,
for,
was it?
For 4 years.
Yeah, yeah.
And unfortunately, when she fell, because of her memory loss, and they couldn't give her physio because she wouldn't remember. So the medical had to make a decision. But she was really well cared for. But as she delved further into it, she was unable to participate in events, daily events. So
She sounded like an amazing, independent woman. So obviously dementia takes your independence away from you. And then when you're in a nursing home, more of your independence is taken away from you. So how did she react to that?
She was very frustrated, and you could see it in her. And sometimes I never saw my mother was she was angry, you know, because she couldn't really articulate what was going on, and you could see it in her face that she wanted to get out and get home all the time. In the early stages, she eventually settled down into it, and I'm hearing so many stories, particularly from the guys in the choir. I mean, this choir is amazing.
The Forget-Me-Nots Choir, it's yes.
People
will know it because it featured heavily in the Brendan Grace.
Yeah.
There are two documentaries. It featured in one of them anyway. And we spoke to Nora Owen about it because her husband.
That's right, yeah.
He suffered with dementia and he was in part of the choir.
I mean, it was set up by three sisters, Karen, Orla and Fiona. And their mum had dementia and they put this idea, get a choir going because her mum loved singing. It started with six people in Balldoyle.
Yeah.
When COVID broke, there was a waiting list of 50 people to get into the choir, and they're trying to set choirs up all over the area. So we're kind of hoping if this single gets out there and people start talking about dementia, that they too will set up a choir, because singing is such a great gift for people, and music. I mean,
and they say that people can remember songs long after they've forgotten everything else.
Yes,
there's that. I don't know how I feel about it, but it was an interesting documentary about Glen Campbell.
Yeah.
That he was still performing.
He was, yeah.
While going through dementia.
And I saw that documentary.
Yeah.
And he was having difficulty with words, but they had it on the TV.
Teleprompter. Yeah.
But I think the whole, this choir, for instance, they're amazing. I couldn't say enough about them. Some of them had never turned on a computer.
Right.
Some of them had no telephones. So we had the song.
You had to record it
remotely. So they learned how to record on phones, on laptops. They were being given all these instructions from the choir masters, and Nora, the choir master herself, she wrote all the lines for them, and it was a new song for them.
Yeah.
Like they were used to singing all their old hits from their old days. This was an amazing feat.
Yeah, right.
You know,
I'm going to have to play the song now. So it's A River Rolls On.
Yeah.
And it's written in honour and to celebrate the life of Mary Kelleher.
Absolutely, yes. Yes, right. My mum.
Who died last Friday, age 91. And she got to hear it in the final moments of her life.
Yeah, absolutely amazing. Yeah.
Isn't that?
Beautiful. It's really beautiful.
Yeah. So here we go. Yeah, it's beautiful imagery when you think about it, and you have thought about it, obviously, but the river, and it's a trickle at the start and finding its feet, so to speak, and then it gets this strength, which I suppose teenage years, 20s, and you're roaring on, you know, and then you have tributaries coming in, and then you're down onto the plain, and it's meandering the odd Oxbow Lake.
Very nice.
And then onto the sea.
Yeah, you get it?
Yeah, beautiful. That's made me cry now. Gorgeous is that person. And condolences to Mike and his family lost following the Wings for years. That's Mick Donoghue. That's Stockton's Wing. He's been following for years. What a lovely man Mike is. His mother was lucky to have such a wonderful son. And I'm sure she enjoyed the song Mike wrote for her in the nursing home. What a wonderful, happy memory, says Kate. It is, isn't it, to have that? My granny died with dementia. And Mike is right. We just said, God love her. She's doting now. And that's what they used to say in the olden days. It's such a sad disease. My dad died twice, as they say, and that's the other thing to say, isn't it? Because you lose them first to dementia, and then first the personality, then his body. My own mother in the nursing home was tough. She really never adapted to it. She never knew where she was the last few years, and asked us to take her home with us. Heartbreaking, Suzanne. And it's a tough for a family, isn't it?
It really is, because that decision that when your loved one has to move into a home, it is the toughest decision any family will make, because there's so much guilt involved around it. And are we doing the right thing? You know, is it right? And then you've got the reaction from the person who's going in there who doesn't want to be there. Clearly, they're aware that they don't want to be where they're going, and that is probably the toughest part of the whole process is the first, sometimes it's months, sometimes it's years.
And is there any other way, do you think? If you're going to become an advocate for this now, you'll have to, you know.
I'm going to learn about it.
And
I'm at the early stages. I've hooked up with this amazing doctor and dancer in America, Magda. And she has an amazing website. And I'll be putting all these links up on my sites.
Yeah.
And the more I read, the more I learn. and then the more we'll spread the kind of news, and hopefully people will have loads of choirs out of this next year. You know, we'll have a choral competition.
I heard Mike sing that song, and it's wonderful to hear him speaking about his mother. She sounds like a wonderful lady. Reminds me of my own mother, R.I.P. And what a lovely tribute to Mary. My own mum died 2 months ago. She was also in her 90s. The words meant a lot to me also, says Anne. Excuse me. Mike wrote a song about the place I'm from, Doolan, County Clare. However, for me, it will always be about Clare Hurling. That's Sean in County Clare. You probably know what he's talking about there. And any chance of an old socially distanced outdoor Stockton's Wing gig, asks Miles. Well, when do you think you'll be gigging again?
Well, there's talk about those gigs when that the government thing comes out, and we're all waiting because there'll be a scurry. There'll be a scurry because they have something like 25 million to spend between now and the end of September. So there'll be gigs morning, noon and night.
And then there's a lot of pent up, you know, singing and guitar playing and baron banging and drum hitting.
Lots of stuff. We're all Stockton's Wing have a live album ready to go that we were due to release last year. That's all ready to go. I have a whole bunch of songs and a few different shows written because I kept busy, and a lot of us did. So we're raring to go. I mean, there's talk about me going to Austria with Eleanor Shandy in August, and by God, if we can do it, you know, we'll be there.
Okay, so before we let you go, Mike, do you want to pay tribute to Mary one more time? Just, you know, something to have.
Oh God, she was just an amazing. She was a woman full of heart. Compassion. She was full of love. Herself and my dad loved each other so much. And I'm just happy that she has found her peace, and she's with Dad, and she's probably dancing a half set with my father up there. And she was a lovely singer as well herself, so she'll be singing the Black Hills of Dakota or something into Dad's ear. And I'm just wish her the best on her journey. So
I think it's okay to feel a little bit happy.
When
it's like that.
So true. I mean, I'm really sad all week, and but I'm also very happy for her because it's a release.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a tough way to end your life. And it was so
7 years.
So prolonged for my mum. You know, it's a tough way because it's a one-way communication process, you know, and you're hoping to get something back through her eyes or a smile. So I'm happy for her. It's a release, and we will all miss her. And there's a hole in the family's heart. It'll never be filled, but we'll be comforted in what she's left us. And she left us so many great memories. And that's all.
Mike, always good to see you. Condolences again.
I really appreciate this. Yeah,
mind yourself. And when you get things going and you want, you know, some
I'll plague you.
Air time, come back to us. Okay. Thanks, Mike.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Gurumaga, Kieran, thank you very much. Have a great weekend. 51551 for your text. You can send us emails to ray@rte.ie. Let's see. Listen to Mike very hard because of so many similarities. We buried our mum last week, age 90, dementia suffered. She suffered dementia and was in a care home as well. No matter what age you are, losing your mum is hard because your mum is always your mum. Or maybe I should say your mam is always your mam. I love playing music to her on my visits. In tears, listen to the song, says that person. And Mike is one of the kindest and most helpful people I know from all at Linsk Song Contest. Mike was a great help to us. Our condolences to him, says Marty. 51551ray@rte.ie. We were supposed to have Kevin Dundon on. We don't have time because we were talking to Mike there, and we obviously... that was a lovely, heartfelt chat. So Kevin was supposed to be coming on and giving us a couple of recipes for the barbecue, if you're barbecuing this weekend. So what we'll do is, with his permission, we'll put the couple of recipes up on our website there, so you can go to them and get some Kevin Dundon recipes for the barbecue. Meanwhile, it's our quiz of today. And the prize, same as all this week, a break in the Castleknock Hotel. You can enjoy one of their missed moments packages. A chance to celebrate those things you may have missed last year. Birthdays, date nights, anniversaries with balloons, bubbles and cake. You can find out more at castleknockhotel.com. Orla Kirby, good afternoon.
Ray Darcy, good afternoon.
I like when I hear Ray Darcy. It's a sign of affection, I think. It's a sign of affection. So congratulations on the birth of Edie. Is it Edie?
Thank you.
Is it Edie?
Edie.
Edie.
Yes, it is.
Edie,
Edie.
Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Edie. Ed
Yeah.
I'm just... So will people be saying Eddie in the future? Or will
Oh, it's already happening. Yeah.
Oh, is it? Right.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Apparently autocorrect corrected on the phone from Edie to Eddie. So I've had a couple of texts and then people going, oh no, I definitely put Edie in. I'm sorry, it autocorrected. So yeah, years of it ahead of us.
Okay. And what age is little
talking point.
What age is little Edie?
Edie is 7 months old.
Yes. And are you still on maternity leave?
I am, yes, I am. I extended for a little while. So yeah, no, she's great.
Is she your first?
She is, yeah, she is indeed. Yeah. So she arrived in the middle of a pandemic last year. So like, you know, what else would you be doing?
Well probably lucky for her. She got your full attention.
She did, yeah. She did. No, it was tough, but you know, it's been great. She's happy and healthy, and that's all we can ask for. So,
okay,
you know.
And what about meeting people? Has she met the family?
She's met, my family, we were very, very lucky that my parents just live up the road from us. So they were in our bubble. So she kind of had met my parents very early on. So she's very, very used to them. And then she got to meet her grandparents in Cork last weekend, which was lovely. It was a lovely trip to make. But just obviously we would have loved to have done it much sooner. But, you know, we couldn't because of restrictions.
Yeah.
So she met them and she was in great form and she loved it and she smiled and laughed. And everything. So she's getting used to seeing people with masks. You know, I remember first when we kind of had to put masks on, she'd get quite alarmed. But yes. No, she's well used to it.
And you're up there in Bettystown, County Meath, by the sea.
Up in Bettystown,
it'll be busy this weekend.
It'll be mental.
Will
it will. Yeah, and there's roadworks and everything going on. So it'll be just great fun. But listen, we're very lucky to have it on our doorstep.
Yes,
and it's when the weather's nice. There's nowhere you'd rather be.
Like living by the sea enhances your life. It enhances your mental health. It's been scientifically proven.
Yeah, I well believe it now. I sea swim every day.
And oh, do
I
can you? Oh, you're a lucky thing.
It's brilliant. I swam the whole way through my pregnancy as well. So swam right up until I was about 3 days before she arrived.
Did we talk to a group of swimmers up there? Are you one of those swimmers?
Probably.
Yes, I think we did.
Maybe. I'm not sure whether it was the same group. There's a couple of different groups
is there? Okay,
kind of between Bettystown and Leighton. Go at different spots at different times.
Right.
But it's great. Yeah, it's definitely good for your mental health.
Yeah, good. You're up against Brenda Larby. So it's the Kirbys against the Larbys today.
Fantastic.
Brenda's in Colestra in Dublin. How are you doing, Brenda?
Hello, Ray Darcy. I better say that as well. you need the affection, Ray Darcy.
I do. I'm very needy. Oh, look at you. You're giddy because of the long weekend.
I am giddy. I'm little ridiculous at my age, but there you go.
No, it's brilliant because there's a barbecue in the making, is there?
There is a barbecue in the making, and do you know what? My husband can beat Kevin Dundon hands down.
Right,
he's doing a lamb kofta, and he's doing chicken wings, and we've got dips, and I've done poached pears, and it's going to be nice.
It's going to be. When is that? That's this evening, is it? Yeah, that's obviously.
What's that?
Is it? It's this evening. It's on this evening. The barbecue.
It's on this evening. It's on this evening at 5:30. So the sun better shine.
Right. and have you had a cocktail already, or are they just been prepared?
Oh, no, I haven't. Do I sound as if
no, no, you don't. You don't. Oh, God, now I'm getting in big trouble. No, you don't at all. You don't.
No. Well, I'll tell you what we're doing for a cocktail.
Go
we
on.
Were watching Rick Stein, and it was one of those weekends in Berlin.
Yes.
And he went to this hotel, and they make this, oh, I can't remember the name of it, but basically you marinate a whole load of fruit in different kind of liqueurs and gin and all that sort of stuff, and then you put champagne on top of it.
Right.
So
the fruit is in the glass. The marinated.
The fruit is in the glass, and it's been marinated with, I think it's grenadine and gin,
and then you put it in champagne. Then you put it in champagne,
and then you put the champagne. You pour the champagne in on top of the fruit.
Right.
So they're getting their 5 a day.
Right.
Can I go to Brenda's barbecue?
Yeah.
Emily, your lovely researcher, is supposed to be popping along
as
well.
She?
So.
You'll have to set up a checkpoint at the gate there to make sure they've all been vaccinated and everything else. Right, okay. Five questions each for Orla and Brenda. It's great, the names. Orla Kirby, Brenda Larby. Five questions each. Whoever answers most correct gets the prize. If it's a draw, we go to a tiebreak situation. Good luck to you both, and here we go.
Thanks. Good luck, Brenda.
Right,
good
Orla.
Luck to you too,
yeah,
Orla.
Yeah, Orla, first question for you. On this day in 1943, Argentina was taken over by General Rawson and Colonel Juan Perón. On what continent would you find Argentina?
South America.
That's the correct answer. Brenda, on this day in 1954, France granted Vietnam independence inside the French Union. On what continent would you find Vietnam?
Asia.
Correct answer. Orla, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this.
What is the meaning of this attack? Where is the crew of the Reliant? Calm. If it's me you want, I'll have myself beamed aboard. Spare my crew.
I make you a counter-proposal. You hand over to me all data and material regarding the project called Genesis.
Genesis, what's that?
Right, on this day, 1982, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan, was released in America. You heard William Shatner there in the film alongside Ricardo Montalban as Khan. Can you name the character that William Shatner played?
Oh...
No, you're probably a bit young for this. I was thinking.
Thanks.
Yeah. No, you are. Yeah. It's Captain Kirk. He was the head man, the boss.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Brenda, chance for you to go in front with your audio question. Have a listen to this. That was the theme tune to Friends. On this day in 2010, Friends star David Schwimmer married Zoe Bookman. Can you name the character he played in the sitcom?
Ross Geller.
Is the correct answer. Yes, correct answer. You probably knew that, Orla, did you?
Well, I bet you should. The reunion was amazing. Anyway, sorry, I'll shut up.
Okay, right, Orla, back to you. Third question. On this day in 1932, there was an army coup against President Juan Montero in Chile. The flag of Chile features one star. What colour is it? Red or white?
White.
Yes. Correct answer. Brenda, on this day in 1958, French Prime Minister Charles de Gaulle arrived in Algeria. The flag of Algeria features one star. What colour is it? Red or green?
Green.
It's red.
No.
Which makes things interesting because it's 2-2 after three questions. Orla Kirby, your music question. Have a listen to this. Sunday Girl was number one on this day in 1979. Can you name the group?
No, but I can name the lead singer.
No.
Debbie Harry.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
Can you? No. If you had her name, it's mad that you have her name and you don't have the name of the group.
I know.
That's like knowing Damon Albarn and not knowing Blur. Yeah. It's like knowing Bono and not knowing U2.
No, I don't.
It's Blondie.
Blondie. Yeah.
Okay, Brenda, your music question. Have a listen to this. Now, that song, Stand and Deliver, was at number one on this day, 1981. Brenda, can you name the group?
No. Haven't a clue. No.
Orla, do you know? I'm not going to give you
Adam
any points.
Adam and the Ants.
Yeah, Adam and the Ants. You don't get any points for that, but there you go. So it's still 2-2 after four questions.
Okay.
It's down to the wire. Orla Kirby versus Brenda Larby. Right. Good luck with this, Orla. Get it right. You put Brenda under a good bit of pressure to get her final question correct. On this day in 1984, Born in the USA, the seventh studio album by Bruce Springsteen was released. In what year was Bruce Springsteen born? 1949, 1953 or 1957? Need an answer from you.
49.
Is the correct answer. He was born September 23rd, 1949. So he'd be 72 in a few months.
And Brenda, looking good on it.
And sounding good on it. Now, Brenda, you're under a bit of pressure now. Get this right and we're into a tiebreak situation. Excuse me. So here it is. Angelina Jolie, American actress and star of Mr. and Mrs. Smith and Maleficent and many more movies, was born on this day in Los Angeles. In what year was she born? So, Angelina Jolie, 1972, 1975 or 1978?
1978.
Oh, no. 1975. No. She's 46 today.
Anyway, never mind.
Oh. Ah, Brenda, hard luck.
Okay. I'm getting two beautiful mugs.
Yes, you are. I wasn't. You are getting two beautiful mugs. Yes, and listen, enjoy the barbecue and the cocktails and everything else, and I hope
thank
it stays
you.
Fine
and
for
all
you.
Enjoy. Yeah. Enjoy. Thank you so much.
Have a lovely weekend.
It was great talking to you, Brenda. You're great fun. See you now.
Okay.
Bye. Orla, well done.
Thanks, Ray.
Yeah. So that's a lovely little break after after the birth
very
of Edie
welcome.
And all that. Yeah, so you're off to the Castleknock Hotel to celebrate some of the things that you missed out on last year, namely the birth of your first child. And you can find out castleknockhotel.com to whet your appetite.
Thank you so much.
Okay, great talking to you, Orla.
Enjoy
the
weekend.
Weekend. Yeah, see you now. Bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Ah, 51551 on ray@rte.ie. Tell Brenda I'll be there at 6 for the barbecue. Can I bring anything? That's brilliant. Now, Crowded House have a new album, Dreamers Are Waiting. And this is the new single from it. Yes, we're going to talk to Nick Seymour after this. Crowded House, whatever you want. Good afternoon, Nick Seymour. I know you're shouting at me going, that's not the new single. To the Island is the new single.
No, it's not.
That's To the Island is the new single. Get your facts right.
It's not.
So is To the Island the new single?
No, now I'm confused.
Well, it's I have a piece of paper in front of me, Nick Seymour, and you're in the band, right? It says Crowded House have placed their current single To the Island.
No.
Right.
So the new single, I will absolutely have to check this with our label now, just in case there's a different agenda to what is the new single in Australia or New Zealand.
Right.
But the big news is that the album is out today.
Today,
that's
yes,
the most
yes.
important
and,
thing.
And listen, do singles matter anymore?
I don't know.
No, but like Olivia Rodriguez, you know that lady who had the the driving license song?
Yeah, yeah.
She released an album last week or the week before, and like all the songs went into the top 20
all
on
of them.
Spotify. Yes, I think all of them. So that's what you have to hope for with Dreamers Are Waiting.
I know.
Good afternoon and great. It's great to talk to you. I'm a big fan of the band.
Oh, great.
And you're talking to us from our Sligo studio.
Yeah.
And you're an Irish citizen, Nick Seymour.
I am. I was given citizenship in 2014. And I think I'm about due a father.
Where would you put it?
I've debated that as to whether to put it on Nick on the I or Seymour on the E.
Yes. Well, you see, if you put it on the I, that would be Nike.
See, there you are.
Or
see,
Nick.
I would have thought it was Nick.
Yeah, Nick. Yeah,
Nick, which would be the pronunciation of my name in Australia, as opposed to Nook. Nook is my pronunciation in New Zealand.
Yeah.
So Nick.
So you were at one of those big citizenship ceremonies then, because they started
in
2011.
One of the first mass citizenship events down on the. Down on the Keys at one of
the
those...
The convention centre, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it was, I think, Minister... What was his first name? His last name was Shatter.
Alan Shatter yes.
had introduced that system. And
yes.
I was one of the first inductees.
Right. How long have you been in Ireland?
22 years, I think.
Okay.
I came here in 98.
And why did you come here?
Ah, because it's lovely. Sure, you know yourself. It was a stop. I used to stay in Dublin between US and European dates with the band when we were touring in the early 90s. And I used to stop in Dublin and rent a room in a B&B in the inner city just because it was too difficult to go all the way back to Melbourne if we only had like 10 days off or whatever between tours. So I just got used to Dublin. I just met a lot of people and started hanging out in that little area that your building is.
You're thinking Today FM. No, we're RTE.
Right. Okay, sorry. And they're in that building that News Talk's in, right?
Yes. That's
okay, because that's where I used to see you in my neighborhood, walking around.
And that's your neighborhood as well. So you had an apartment. Was it over the Georgia Street Arcade or around there?
Yes. In that building, but on the Exchequer Street side. And I lived there for 13 years.
Right.
And I had a studio there on the first floor. So I had the second floor as my apartment and the first floor as Exchequer Studios.
And then people like Bellex One, Neil Hannon, Lisa Hannigan, they all worked out of that studio at times.
Yeah, and Hozier. We made Hozier's first album there.
Did you?
Yeah.
My word.
Our studio had a number one hit worldwide at one point, and the phone still didn't ring.
And Nick, you must have been in there when it was happening. And did you realise that it was that special?
Yeah.
Now we're going to talk about your music in a moment, but just
well, look, do you remember the 90s, Ray?
Well, of course I remember the 90s. Yeah,
it was a really great time for Dublin, and that's when I first moved there, and I just found it such a vibrant city, and it completely captivated me, and I convinced my girlfriend to move over. From Australia in 98, and she complied, and she's never looked back. And we've had two kids in Ireland.
Brilliant.
And then we moved to Sligo 13 years ago.
And is she Irish?
No. She's Australian.
She's Australian, right.
Bit of Irish descent.
Aha.
Sure, aren't they all?
Because she represented Ireland, didn't she?
She did, yes.
At taekwondo.
She was a taekwondo bronze medalist in the European... Various. She's won it a couple of times. Right. She's evented for Ireland. Yeah,
Nicola McCutcheon.
That's correct.
Uh-huh. Now it's 30 years this year since the release of Woodface. You're well aware of that. God. I'm just telling our listeners.
Oh, wow! As if it were yesterday.
Yeah. What I didn't know until I started doing research on you, Nick Seymour, is that you did the artwork for all or most of Crowded House's albums?
All the albums.
All the albums.
Except maybe one best of that EMI put out. They got another arty type to do that.
Well
all the other artwork.
Brilliant work.
Thank
Amazing
you.
Work.
Thank you.
Like they're standout good, standout brilliant.
Great.
Yeah. So that, you're multi-talented then, and you're bass player, singer, songwriter, obviously you sing as well, because the Seymour Family Singers toured when you're... I love this stuff.
We didn't tour. I mean,
Wait till I get to the white jacket.
We lived in rural Victoria,
right.
A little town called Beaufort in the Western District near Ballarat. And it's where gold was first discovered in Australia in the mid-1800s. And not that I was around then, but... We used to sing at all sorts of kind of family-oriented events and the local church. And yeah, we were, and it all kind of, my sisters and my brother's Mark Seymour, who is the singer from Hunters and Collectors in Australia and has his own solo career now in Australia and does very well. And my two elder sisters are both in choirs.
Hillary and Helen.
That's correct.
Yeah.
But
what sort of stuff did you sing?
It was kind of, it could be show tunes, it could be Gilbert and Sullivan, could be the Von Trapps from The Sound of Music. That sort of thing. I think it was inspired originally by the kind of Sound of Music type scenario of the time. But my mum was a big Irish, a fan of Irish traditional songs, and we did learn a lot of those. Of course, in those days, we just thought they were hymns. We didn't realise that these were the melodies and songs that I've subsequently learnt again since, or relearned.
What sort of things are you talking
about?
Moved
Through the Fair.
Oh,
or,
yes.
You know, just these airs.
Yes.
Slow melodies with a beautiful top line that is very landscape and of place.
Yes,
and you know, a lot of those haunting melodies is what I had in common with Neil when we first got together.
Yes,
when we
which
first
brings us nicely
writing.
Onto Neil Finn. Now, he likes to surround himself with family, and he's gone like to the nth degree this time, because so Crowded House in its current incarnation have three Finns.
That's correct.
Like a good fish.
Yeah.
But so it's Neil and the two sons.
That's correct.
And yourself. How is that working out for you? Do they gang up on you or anything?
No, they. I must say, when it gets, it's hard to. I've never felt that there's a block. You know, the Finn yeah. block that I have to break through the Finn block. You know, it was only on this album that the lads have joined the band and recorded with us. But I have played with them over many years in different incarnations of gigs with Neil.
Yes, yeah,
not
yeah.
necessarily Crowded House. Stuff for his solo work or just jamming when we pick up instruments yeah. and have a play if I'm at the compound in New Zealand. But
I'm really enjoying the album because we're coming. I have a couple of things to get to. Dreamers Are Waiting is the album. It's out today. It's the new Crowded House album. You also did the music for The Summit, and
that's right.
That was yeah. nominated for an IFTA back in the day, and you arrived with Nicola in a white suit.
That's correct.
Yes. Now you still have that white suit because you were featured in the current video to The Island. In that white jacket.
What
people won't know is that they tried to trick you. They tried to, you know, cheat you into the video, because I know that you didn't leave this country to go and visit it, do it in New Zealand.
Oh, my God, yeah, of course.
Because they've chroma keyed you into it, haven't they?
I did it in front of green screen
yes.
around at a mate's house just near Eastkey where I live.
Right.
And we had to match the stills that that the band had the other lads in New Zealand had photographed yeah. themselves. I had various stills as my reference that I had to look and place the camera in the exact same position in front of a green screen and react to all their
I'm going to direct people towards it, to The Island, and spot the green screen. Now, can I play a bit of my favourite Crowded House song to go? Is that okay with you?
Work Away.
Yeah, great, okay.
Is there just one, Ray?
There's loads and loads and loads and loads. Love them. Great memories. I didn't know he lived here, so somebody, and he's still a cutie. He was my Crowded House crush back in the day. So there you go. There's still love out there. Dreamers Are Waiting, the new album from Crowded House. Nick, we'll have to have a longer chat.
Well overdue.
Yeah, yeah. Great.
Good on you, Ray.
Have a great weekend. Mind yourself. See
you too.
Bye,
see
bye,
you,
bye,
mate.
Bye, bye,
bye.
Bye. That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back on Tuesday. Enjoy your long weekend, and whatever you're doing, please do it safely.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.